Hey, sewing friends. This month, we're bringing you a throwback episode. We spoke with producer Mariko Abe, who you can find at Mariko Abe Creative and at The Unicorn Hoax on Instagram, about hers and Ada's trip to the LA Fashion District last year. This episode was originally recorded on June 25th, 2023 on Instagram Live. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know, have you visited the LA Fashion District? What was your experience like? Email us at AsianSewistCollective@gmail.com with your thoughts. Enjoy the ep.
Welcome to the Asian Sewist Collective podcast. The Asian Sewist Collective is a group of Asian people from around the world brought together by our shared appreciation for fiber and textile arts and our desire to see more Asian representation in the sewing community.
In this podcast, we explore the intersection of our identities and our shared sewing practice as we create a space for Asian sewists and our allies.
I'm your co-host, Ada Chen, and I'm recording from Denver, Colorado. Denver is the traditional territory of the Ute, Cheyenne, and Arapaho peoples. I'm a Taiwanese-American marketer turned entrepreneur, and these days you'll find me running my all-natural skincare business called Chuan's Promise, that's C-H-U-A-N apostrophe S, promise, and sharing my marketing tips on my blog. Most importantly for this podcast, you can find my sewing at i.hope.sew on Instagram.
And I'm your co-host, Nicole. I'm based outside of Chicago, the original homelands of the Council of the Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Potawatomi, and the Odawa people. I'm a Philippine-American woman, a lawyer by day, and a sewing enthusiast the rest of the time. You can find me on Instagram at Nicole Angeline Sews.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to a special mini episode, more just like informal chat with Asian Sewist Collective friends meeting in real life, Ada and producer Mariko, who you, I believe, have heard from in a few past episodes, but we are glad to have Mariko joining us today. And they met while Ada was visiting LA earlier in June. I'm jealous for a couple of reasons, and that's why this exists. One, you got to meet IRL, so I want to hear about that. And two, you got to go to the LA Fashion District. So I want to hear all about that. Aiders, listeners, no Ada, but Mariko, I'd love you to introduce yourself to the listeners today.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Mariko Abe. She, they pronouns. I am based in Orange County. And as Nicole said, I am the producer behind many of our past episodes. Outside of the podcast, I do comic art and also a lot of illustration, trying to grow into that.
Very cool. Be sure to give Mariko a follow at Mariko Abe Creative on Instagram. And so let's just dive in. Ada and I met earlier this year. It was awesome. What was it like meeting in real life for the both of you?
Oh, I think Mariko made a comment after we had met Nicole because she was like, well, now I know what to expect. And I was like, yeah, camera will be out. can't tell you much besides that. And yeah, I think it was really cool. I mean, like, we've been online friends for like, what, 2-3 years now?
Wow.
So it wasn't like, it's not like when you meet someone for the first time and you've like never met them before. Like, we talk all the time. So it was just like, oh, like, this makes sense. Also, because like when you're, most of us, I think, have our measurements listed in our Instagram. It's not like you're like, oh, like this person, you know, when you meet a coworker and you only see them in the Zoom box and then you're like, oh my God, you're like 10 feet tall. Or like opposite, like I did not think I was going to be taller than you. Like none of that happens because we all have our measurements listed.
That's true. Now that you bring the coworker thing, I have done a double take meeting some people in real life because you always think they look bigger or smaller than they do. On my end, I don't know. I think it's because we spoke so much online. Like for those of you who don't know, I used to work in tech and I would spend forever complaining to Ada about it. But anyway, meeting in real life kind of just felt like when you've known for a while.
Well, I am glad and hope the three of us and the rest of our podcast friends get to meet someday in the not too distant future. But let's go ahead and dive into this mini episode about the LA Fashion District. So just a little bit of background. And by background, I mean I pulled it from the website. I'm just reading this, you know, being the West Coast's hub of fashion, along with the largest flower market in the country and the largest selection of textiles and notions in the U.S., the L.A. Fashion District is jam-packed with 4,000 plus independently owned and operated retail and wholesale businesses. 107 blocks of creativity, community, and color make up the L.A. Fashion District are safe, walkable, and easy to navigate, with the district being geographically divided into 17 distinct categories. This is from their tips for visiting. And my favorite tip, I have to say, is, quote, do yourself a favor and bring a luggage carrier / stroller if you plan on purchasing more merchandise than you can comfortably carry. Noted, and I will do that in the future. So have either of you been there before?
Yes, I have. I've only been visiting pockets here and there, but I love that stroller tip because I know that Ada probably could have done with it.
Okay. No, I brought a tote bag and I vastly overblew that. Okay. So then I got another free tote bag.
You need one of those bags that Instagram keeps trying to sell me on wheels. I think it's called the Hulk. Oh, yeah.
Like aunties in the subway have been using those bags for like decades.
With the cart. It's a good tip.
Yeah, with the cart. But no, I hadn't been there before this. So the friend that I was staying with actually used to live pretty close by. And when I was like, I'm going to the fashion district with my sewing online friend, he was like, oh, I used to like live next to that. Has no concept of sewing or like any of the things. And so I think it never stepped foot in the fashion district except maybe to go to a restaurant. But very much like knew where it was and like knew where it was relative to his new house. So I was like, okay, this is where I will be with Mariko and Henry. And in all the times I've been to LA before that, I hadn't sewed because it's been a while. So it was nice to finally see it because I've seen it on Instagram and YouTube.
I would love to go. I haven't spent a lot of time in LA, but I know that driving and traffic is a thing. So was it easy to get to? Like, do you park? Like, what? How did you get to the fashion district?
I mean, I took a Lyft from another neighborhood called Brentwood because I had a morning work meeting there. I was supposed to have a rental car. We had planned to have a rental car, but that did not really work out. So I was like, I'm going to Lyft to the store. We know we're meeting at this store at 11, so see you there.
Yeah, where I'm based, it's about 1 hour away by car without traffic, with traffic double that. And I have previously looked up public transportation, but taking the train from Orange County to LA, I think it takes twice as long. And that's just to get to a main hub. Then you would have to switch to Metro.
Which, if it's bad traffic time, is about equal. But if it's not bad traffic time.
Yeah. After we dropped Ada off at the end of the trip, it took us about an hour and a half to 2 hours to get back home.
So you really didn't stay for dinner?
No, we didn't. Too tired.
No, that's fair. So we really do need to be driven there, sounds like.
Unless you're staying in downtown LA, like in a hotel there, I would say you have to be driven, because maybe in downtown LA you could walk it from certain parts and there is the above ground metro. But in my history of visiting LA and having many of the like LA metro tap cards to get on, not really reliable.
All right. Fair enough. I think now I know I will just get Ubered or something. And Mariko, did you end up parking in the district? Is it easy to find parking or do you have to do it ahead of time?
Yeah, there are a lot of parking spots everywhere. But of course, it being LA, be prepared to pay anywhere between $5 and $20 to park.
Fair dues. I had a look at the website and I thought about going before and I'm like, what am I going to do there? But now that you went, I'm like, ooh. I went to the website and saw this huge map. So when you decided to go, did you map out where you wanted to go or did you kind of show up and wander? And like, what do you advise would work well for people who are visiting probably for the first time?
Mariko asked me this question, like, what do you want to buy? Probably as soon as I told her about the trip. And so we had narrowed it down to activewear and good knits. And then we kind of had this like running list in Slack where we're like, I need this, so we have to go here. And I need that, so we have to go here. And Mariko really kind of just like pulled the list together.
It's a little spread out depending on what you want to check out. I think there are a cluster of mixed fabric stores around that are closer to each other within walking distance. But then, you know, if, for instance, Ada had said, oh, I want to buy denim, the place that I know of is a little bit further away.
Is the entire district walkable? So, or do you, would you like take a cab from one area to another?
I think from end to end, it's probably like a mile or a little over, because like you said, it's like 107 blocks. So it's basically like 10 by 10 grid of city blocks. And so we walked, but I could see how if you were carrying a lot of fabric or you had mobility issues, like you would want to drive it.
Gwen is on the IG live right now and says 1.5 hours !!! Yeah, sometimes it just takes that. Depends on how dedicated you are. And if I'm going to fly out to LA, I'm going to be dedicated like that. But carpool for environmental reasons, of course. So, okay. Share with us, what were some of the places on your list of your list of where to go? And did you make all of them or 50% of them? What were you thinking?
I mean, we started at Blue Moon Fabrics, which does have a great online store. I will say that, like, we checked out and then I looked at the fabric that I got and I looked at the receipt that I got in the email and I was like, this green is different in person. And so definitely ask about swatches if you can, if you're trying to shop online for some of these places. But they were really great too. Shop with, because you can kind of pre-shop and then like have someone literally follow you around to patiently cut fabric cuts from the bolt. Yeah, where else? I think Mariko had picked the rest of them besides Mood because we wanted to go see the Taylor Swift fabric. So
yeah, we went to Be Black and Sons, which is a big suiting store, so you can buy a lot of different outer fabrics for your suits and inner fabrics as well. I love their selection of Bemberg linings, because if you go online, you just get solid colors, but the ones I bought, which you'll see in a real suit, are slightly iridescent. Yeah. And also another shout out to Be Black and Sons, because they're super helpful. The first time I went there, I was buying the materials for my Pedro suit. And I asked all these super noob questions like, how many yards of interfacing do I need? Or can you help me match buttons and lining to my wool coat? And then the person who helped me was just super helpful and very nice guy.
Oh, we love to hear that. We have another question. We have a question from Gwen, a very important question in my mind. Do the stores have restrooms? And what happens when you need a bathroom break? It's real.
I can answer that honestly. Toilet anxiety is a big thing whenever I drive into LA. A lot of the stores, especially in the fabric district downtown, they tend not to open up their bathrooms for people. So if you're familiar with the route between downtown and Orange County, there's a section of shipping and commerce stuff going on in commerce. And looking for a bathroom there was a chore.
I was going to give a shout out to the place that we had lunch at, which is called Broken Mouth Lee's Homestyle. They were in, it's basically like Hawaiian Californian style, traditional Asian comfort food kind of fusion. So they were in like a mini food court. Like there was a Pizza Hut, Domino's next to them, but also like an independent Thai restaurant, and they had a bathroom in there. So we ended up using the bathroom at lunch because I think, like Mariko said, like toilet anxiety is real.
I feel you. I definitely feel you on that. These are asking the hard questions here at the ASC podcast.
There are some coffee places too that you could definitely like buy a coffee and ask to borrow the bathroom.
Yeah, this is definitely important. Where else did you go?
We wanted to go to Gold Star Tool, I think, but it was closed early. They have two stores in Fashion District, and they basically sell all the different notions and tools that you can ever imagine.
The tool nerd in me is like, oh, I want to see all that because I have a lot of fabric. Not that I'm not going to buy fabric.
Well, you'll be glad to hear that they've got an online store and shipping is 99 cents flat. And they ship very fast. So I've done a lot of last minute, broke all my jeans buttons, need more ordering.
That's good to know. Well, definitely when the podcast comes out, we'll have all of these links in the show notes so that people can check them out. So you named a couple of places. One thing I should have asked was, what day of the week did you go?
We went on Friday. Because I was going to plan on doing it on a weekend, but then Mariko pointed out that most of these fabric stores aren't open on the weekends. They are Monday to Friday operation, generally anywhere from like 9 to 10 a.m. for the ones that are like not wholesale, like you can walk in as a regular person and buy. Some of them open at like 11, I think, but most of them were they were open by the time we were there at 11. And I think they all close around 4 or 5. It's not open very late.
So it's really an industry sort of neighborhood. It's not necessarily built around home sewists, but it's for people who are working and in the industry.
Yeah, like there's a ton of smaller designers in LA. There's even people who go to LA from like San Francisco to source for their fabric and fashion lines up there, but they're like smaller scale production. So they'll be like buying a full bolt, but obviously they're going to go during business hours because it's like a business thing. So like one store that we passed on the way to Be Black and Sons from lunch had this bolt outside of a fabric that I had scraps of from a slow fashion company up in San Francisco. And so I was like, I know that fabric. Do I want, like, I don't need this. Like, we're going to keep walking.
Most of the stores, you can go in and buy, you know, small cuts, less than a bolt size. But I do also know that the denim store I frequent, there are a lot of Pacific Blue denims. Their pricing is great, but they may charge you a cutting fee because you're cutting into a whole bolt, whereas most people would go in and put the whole thing on their shoulder and head out.
That sounds like so much fun. I mean, what am I going to do with a whole bolt of denim? Of course, I'm not going to do it.
How are you going to get it home?
I know.
Hey, podcast listeners. Looking for a way to support the Asian Sewist Collective? Well, we have a great way for you to do that now, and we're excited to announce our first set of merch. We've launched a limited edition set of woven labels on our coffee page, so ko-fi.com/Asian Sewist Collective, and you can get a pack of 5 woven labels custom designed by our very own producer, Mariko, with some cute sayings from seasons 1 through 3, like, this was a panic sew, forgot to pre-wash, or made with fabric purchased while traveling. And they all have really cute designs on them that you should definitely go check out on our Instagram and on our coffee page. And to get your very own set of 5 labels, you will be supporting the podcast and helping us bring you new content and new guests week after week. So head to ko-fi.com/Asian Sewist Collective.
I know. But oh, that sounds so exciting. Like, what was it like just being in amongst, you know, the, like, all of these stores? I feel like I would be really overwhelmed, but like excited about being there.
A little bit overwhelming, for me personally anyway. And going back to your example of auntie carts, I think we saw a few people bringing them around and buying like mounds and mounds of fabric for their business.
Yeah, there are some stores, especially near Santee Alley, which if you just look up videos of it on YouTube or Instagram, like, it's just lots of independent vendors with kind of sometimes similar fabrics, but like they've got the bolt like straight up outside their store, kind of like shopping a rack outside a store, but it's not a ready-to-wear garment. It is literally fabric that you would need to turn into a garment. And so the sheer amount of stuff that is out, I think, is a bit overwhelming. It does remind me of shopping for fabric or going to like certain warehouse districts, especially like in Taiwan. Like, there's a whole district in Taipei that's like a little bit removed, but that's where all the vendors for night markets buy all their clothing. So then obviously they like mark it up at the night market. But if you go to that district and you're wandering, like it's literally alleyways. It's just racks and racks of clothing and sometimes fabric that are like outside these stores. And it's very narrow. And that's kind of like what I was reminded of.
Sounds like it might be claustrophobic, like to just be in amongst all the racks and stuff, you know, or I don't know. It could be just something to think about, I guess, if you're thinking about going. Mariko, you said you saw people with the auntie carts. I mean, were there people with luggage? Because I don't have an auntie cart.
I saw someone with luggage.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not going to be out of place. But to add to Ada's point, imagine it's like a bunch of stores along the street, but then half of each store's items are all on the pavement. So you can get your suitcase through, but you're going to have to negotiate that suitcase with a bunch of people, depending on the day that you're there.
Okay. Good to know. I would definitely bring something with wheels because it's easier to do that and navigate through a crowd than throw out my back or shoulder or something like that. And for folks who are on the IG live right now, you know, if you have any questions, drop them in the chat. We're keeping an eye on it. But were there any places that you felt like really weren't worth going into or checking out?
I will give two.
I'm going to say mood.
Mood being the big one because like as soon as we walked in there, we were like, nope, not for us.
Disclaimer though, if you're going to make an evening gown, there's a huge selection of beautiful, you know, sequin stuff, lace, etc. So it's great for that, but not for general garment sewing.
Yeah, you can find better general garment sewing fabrics, I think, elsewhere at better prices for nicer quality. And not to mention, they always just, Mood just always has problematic fabrics. And I don't know why we all keep shopping there. We were purely there to look at the Taylor Swift lace, which then we established was outside of anybody's budget. The two I would skip is like, unless you are specifically looking for outdoor fabric, we actually passed quite a few stores that had Sunbrella, which is a brand name of sun, like UV treated outdoor fabric. Unless you're going for that, like you need to make an outdoor umbrella, a table cover, outdoor cushions, like any of that, you could totally just skip those stores because they are very much geared towards people who are doing that, who I'm sure are also sewing on industrial machines to handle the thickness of that fabric. And then there were quite a few that were kind of, they just had lots of tulle everywhere. So also if you're making an evening gown or you're really into tulle, definitely hit up those shops that just have tulle outside. They're pretty hard to find on Google Maps, but once you are kind of in the middle, you will see like five of the like very similar stores. Personally have a lot of tulle in my stash. Don't need more.
I don't think I've ever seen you make something with tulle.
Yeah, it was an ambitious thrift purchase.
I have tulle as well that has not seen the light of day. So
one day.
Yeah. Anywhere else, Mariko, that's like, skip it?
I can't say for sure because I always look up where I'm going to go before I go since it's such a trek. I will say that there are a lot of ready-to-wear clothing stores scattered in between the fabric stores, which again ties back to the whole it's a little bit hard to walk around and browse.
Okay, good to know. I've got one more question for you and then we'll wrap it up and I'll kind of try to summarize everything succinctly. In addition to the restroom situations, equally important to me and related to the restroom situation. What's the food situation like? Were you able to find food easily? Was it good? Like, do you have any recommendations? Because it sounds like you could really have a big day there and you need sustenance.
I have in the past just dipped in, bought stuff, and gone off to Santa Monica or something else. But there are definitely food options. As Ada said, Broken Math, Hawaiian, Asian with a Korean twist, I want to say. That was really good. I think that little food court is just going to grow. It looks fairly new. There are a lot of random cafes here and there. I know there's a shawarma, pita, something cuisine nearby, which has very flashy signs. Probably is good. Haven't tried it. So there are definitely food options. And to top it off, I think there are a lot of street stalls as well, often frequented by people who either work there or work nearby, have their own fabric businesses.
That's good to know. I always need to know what the food situation is. My friends and family know that I'm always asking about that. Okay, well, to just sum up and let me know if I get anything wrong, Ada and Rico. So got to be dropped off or drive, plenty of parking. Probably map out your day. Do research in advance. If you just show up, you're probably not going to get a lot done, or you'll be super overwhelmed and not know where to go. Maybe skip Mood because there are a lot of other places you can shop while you're there. And a couple other places that weren't worth it, but I think researching ahead of time is going to help take care of like where you go. Food and bathrooms available. And did I miss anything? Anything else?
Oh, as you were summarizing, I would add, if you are not on a time crunch, like you have more than one day in LA, or you've dedicated the whole day to it, you could probably get around the research part if you were very good about managing your time. So you spent the first hour or two when the store's open, just taking a look, like doing that first pass and then marking down or dropping a pin or whatever where you want to come back to, and then doing your actual shopping, because unless you have someone who's been there before, like I did, you will be like, what is this? And definitely overwhelmed. So shout out to Mariko for being my guide. And to Henry for coming and driving here.
I'll also add, a lot of the stores have so much of a collection. So like even Blue Moon Fabrics itself must be, I want to say, just under 10 aisles, full aisles of fabric. So you're going to want to spend time walking through it and just really absorbing all your colors. So I think, Ada, correct me if I'm wrong, the way you did it was we went through all of the aisles, you took pictures of what you wanted, and then we asked that very nice gentleman to help us cut all the fabrics you wanted.
Yep. He was very patient.
It's a good strategy. I would not have had a strategy if I don't think if we talked. I think I would have just shown up. So I'm glad. I'm glad. This is why we're having this conversation. We have a question from Esther. Hi, Esther. Do you need cash for the shops or is card okay?
I think generally card is okay.
Yeah, I want to guess that with COVID, card has been more okay. Obviously, most businesses prefer cash. If you can bring cash and you feel comfortable carrying it around, I think most of them will have a sign if they don't accept credit cards. The thing that I experienced the first time, Mariko's going to laugh, in Arcadia is when we went to this Taiwanese restaurant. Shout out Tofu King, very good Taiwanese food if you would like to go. Has the requisite 3.5 stars for just being a quick eat. But they're cash only or Zelle. And they just tell you at the front, they're like, cash only or Zelle. And I was like, who uses Zelle? I would rather go to the ATM.
I use Zelle. Is this a problem? Maybe we talk about it offline.
I don't know, but the Zelle screen gave me like 5 warning messages yesterday. And I was like, I'm just trying to pay my Fred back. Venmo isn't like this.
I must just be old then. And like my Zelle, formerly Chase QuickPay. But yeah, thanks for the question, Esther. Okay, so that's all I wanted to chat with you about. Any last things, Mariko or Ada, about the LA Fashion District that you want to impart to our friends?
Come visit and say hi and let me know. I don't mind if it takes me an hour or an hour and a half to get there. I would love to meet all of you and I would love to go fabric shopping with you.
Hydrate and bring a water bottle and make sure to look and see if the store has signs saying they allow recording or not if you are going to be taking pictures and taking videos. But also, yes, hydrate, because it was hot.
All right. Well, great tips. I am going to go there someday. And Mariko, I will definitely take you up on your offer to show me around. I can't promise I'm going to be as organized as Ada. I think I'm a little bit more like... Wow, there's so much here. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so.
But that makes for good content. That's perfect.
True, true story. Oh, my bestie's on here and she said, let's go. She's amazing. She's just learning how to sew.
Love it. Even more reason. You don't have a big old stash yet. we gotta fill up that stash.
That's true. All right. Thank you both for your time this morning. Thanks, folks on IG Live, for joining us. If you have any questions about the LA Fashion District, or, you know, always feel free to shoot us an email or a message on Instagram. And we'd love to hear, have you been to the Fashion District? Did you love it? Did you hate it? What did you do to make it successful? And we just love to hear from you. And it's really about me, so that I can get all the feedback that I can get before I go to the LA Fashion District. All right. Thank you both again. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Asian Sewist Collective podcast. If you like our show, please consider supporting us on Ko-fi by becoming a one-time or monthly supporter, or by buying our stickers and sewing labels. That's right, we have merch. Buy the labels, they are hilarious. Your financial support helps us with overhead expenses and will allow us to give back to our all-volunteer team who works so hard to provide you with new content each week. The link to our Ko-fi page is ko-fi.com/AsianSewist Collective, and you can find the link in our show notes, on our website, and on our Instagram account. Check us out on Instagram at Asian Sewist Collective. That's one word, Asian Sewist Collective. And you can also help us out by spreading the word and telling your friends. We would appreciate it if you could rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All of the links and resources mentioned in today's episode will be in the show notes on our website. That's AsianSewistCollective.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Email us with your questions, comments, or even voice messages if you want to be featured on future episodes at AsianSewistCollective@gmail.com. This episode was brought to you by your co-hosts, Ada Chen and Nicole Angeline. Thank you so much to the other members of our collective who made this week's episode a reality. This is the Asian Sewist Collective podcast, and we'll see you next week.